The Indian government officially abolished the caste system in 1950, but discrimination persists against people from historically oppressed caste communities called Dalits. And that discrimination has spread across the South Asian diaspora. Dalits in the United States say caste discrimination is alive and well here, and it has consequences.
I have seen a lot of people getting into different mental problems because they are in constant fear. If this person comes to know about my identity, then he will probably not give me this opportunity. That is why I am also forced to hide. But if given a choice, I wouldn't do that.
That's a Dalit tech worker featured in a recent BBC documentary called The Hidden Caste Codes of Silicon Valley. In 2020, one advocacy group received at least 250 unsolicited complaints related to casteism, including sexual harassment, slurs, and more. And the California Civil Rights Department filed a lawsuit alleging caste discrimination at the tech company Cisco the same year. But a new movement to address caste discrimination might be gaining traction after legislation banning the practice passed in Seattle. A similar measure is going through the California legislature. Sonia Paul is the journalist who hosted that BBC radio documentary, and she's here to tell us more. Hey, Sonia.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, Sonia. So let's start by defining caste. What is it and how does it work?
So caste is a system of social hierarchy that ranks people based on their birth. And it's not just in India. It manifests across South Asia. And, you know, we have the equivalent of caste communities around the world. But in South Asia, caste has had associations with purity and social status, where you then see people from different caste communities performing certain jobs based on their perceived status. So, for example, people from historically oppressed caste groups would perform jobs that might be considered like unclean or impure. And nowadays, you know, you see people from different caste communities performing various types of jobs. But the key thing to understand about caste is that it is hereditary and it is hierarchical.
Is it tied to the Hindu religion or does it spread across different religions in India and South Asia?
Mm-hmm. Well, caste was first mentioned in ancient Vedic scriptures, which has formed the basis of Hinduism. But caste manifests across all South Asian religions. It's not exclusive to Hinduism.
And I want to ask you, you know, that's India and South Asia. Tell us some of the evidence you're seeing that caste biases have traveled with some of these immigrants to the United States.
Yeah, the evidence is very coded and often invisible to the untrained eye. And I think the important thing to realize before we can even get into finding evidence is that the vast majority of Indians in the United States come from historically privileged caste communities. And so when it comes to the allegations that have come forward in these tech companies, you know, we hear about people asking these sorts of coded questions, like, you know, where is your family from? What did they do? And in India specifically, like, caste is incredibly nuanced across region and across linguistic groups, right? And one of the people featured in the BBC documentary, he talked about how he had one manager who was asking him about the pronunciation of his last name, because based on the exact pronunciation, he might come from a Dalit group in one area of India or a more privileged caste group in another area of India. So it's highly nuanced and it is variable, actually, because it is hidden, it is invisible, and it's not something you can, like, see on a person's skin.
So the worker you're referring to, his name is Harsha Pilli, and he shared with you his experience. He also used his name, which many Dalits here are afraid to do. Harsha got great performance reviews until he had an Indian manager who, as you said, asked him about his last name and he was outed as a Dalit. The manager tanked his job approval rating and he knew he'd been targeted because of his caste. So he filed a legal complaint, but it didn't go anywhere. Here's what Harsha told you.
I know because from my birth, I have experienced these discriminations. It is one of them. So I clearly know this is because of these constraints in the legal entities, but I did this for one of the reason. I am a citizen now.
So he was outed because of his last name. There were other ways in which Dalits too can be found out. One included just something as simple as, you know, putting your hand on the shoulder. Tell us about that one.
Yeah, you know, and this is a very interesting thing because among some Brahmin communities, and Brahmins would refer to people from privileged caste backgrounds, they do wear this sacred thread around their shoulders. And so one of the people I interviewed talked about how, you know, managers or colleagues would pat them on the shoulders and you think it's like friendly, but, you know, they could also be sort of looking for a thread. And it may not necessarily even be that they're looking for a Dalit per se, but that they're looking for one of their own, you know, and that's the thing. It's like there are caste communities everywhere, and caste also functions like euphemistically as culture, right? But we haven't really called it what it is, which is that it is caste. It's based upon people coming from the same families. And so that's the thing, is that it's this system of detection that when you're on the receiving end of caste discrimination, you're feeling that you're actually made to be outcast because you don't belong.
And why is it that so many who spoke to you didn't want to actually use their names? And I too have done interviews in the past with Dalits and had to not use their name.
Yeah, I mean, first is that there is so much shame associated with caste. And I think one of the things that we're hearing from a lot of Dalits is them grappling still with internalized shame that they've gone over, and then they come here to the US and they feel like they're being forced to be ashamed again. I think another thing is that when you hear so many people deny the existence of caste and deny the existence of caste discrimination, you don't want to even be outed as someone who speaks out against them, let alone someone who is from an oppressed caste community, because the pushback is just so much. And third, most of the people who are here and alleging caste discrimination come from first-generation immigrant communities. And many of these people have vulnerable immigration statuses. So they don't want to do anything that would kind of, you know, push the boundaries of what they're experiencing here. They just want to be here comfortably. And even if they've experienced discrimination, they don't want to make a big deal out of it because it just adds to more stress that they're already experiencing.
So now, Sonia, there's a legal effort to ban caste discrimination, and that just made it out of the California Judiciary Committee. Here's State Senator Aisha Wahab, who's the leader of the legislation.
I've come to understand that taking such a strong position on an issue of civil rights will make me a target of harassment. However, it also made my staff targets.
Why is there so much opposition to the measure of this bill, and where is it coming from?
Yeah, there's a lot of opposition, mostly coming from Hindu groups who feel that adding caste as its own specific category under anti-discrimination laws is going to make Indian Americans, and particularly Hindus, a target for discrimination as alleged perpetrators of caste bias. And, you know, this is an ongoing issue among some Hindus in the United States where they say they feel that their religion is always associated with like caste and cows and curry, and then they're more than that. And here we have a law now going to be calling out caste even more. But the law as it's defined, or the bill rather, doesn't make any associations with religion.
Okay. And some of these major companies, Cisco, there's a lawsuit which is proceeding. Google has tried to address casteism, but then cancelled what they were going to do because some employees said it was anti-Hindu. You've spoken with major tech companies. What are they doing about allegations of casteism in their offices?
Well, several tech companies we talked to said that they do not tolerate caste discrimination in the workplace. Apple has explicitly added caste as its own protected category. So we're seeing that, actually, the rise of caste as its own protected category of discrimination.
And then you have Indian Americans and other South Asian Americans who say, well, caste isn't relevant to my life. In other places, you get certain advantages for being a member of the dominant caste, but not here. But Sonia, I wonder if that's true. And I wonder if this may be more widespread than we South Asian Americans are willing to admit.
Yes, Deepa, and this is a thing that I really want to emphasize. Just as we have the myth of the model minority, we also have the myth of the casteless Indian or the casteless Indian American. Everyone comes from a caste, but what we're seeing with the way we're having so much pushback against this piece of legislation or allegations of caste discrimination are people negotiating with that myth of castelessness. Some people are outright denying it and saying, no, I have a caste, whether it's a perceived oppressed caste community or a privileged caste community. And then we see other people, honestly, perpetuating that myth. But the matter of fact is that no one is casteless. And just because we're in another country doesn't mean that caste goes away.
Sonia Paul is a journalist covering caste discrimination in the United States. Sonia, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.